Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. The Porsche Carrera Cup North America on IMSA Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Road Atlanta, Michelin Road Atlanta, for the final three contests of the season. I'm John Hindorf, and alongside me in the IMSA Radio and IMSA TV global broadcast booth is Jeremy Shaw. We'll get to Jeremy in a moment. We have a fantastic lineup of cars waiting to fire up for the anti-penultimate time this season. And the challenge that they will be taking on is one of the best ribbons of tarmac anywhere in the world. It's fast. It's a short lap time, just over 2.5 miles around 12 corners. The awesome fast entry into the first right-handed uphill corner, then down through the signature S's and turn five to an overtaking spot at turn six on the far side of the circuit. Turn seven leads onto a curving back straight, if that makes sense, and it's a downhill braking area into turn 10 before you pop out under the Fox Factory Bridge through the kink that is turn 11 and down to the highly committed final right-hander at turn 12. Easy for me to say, much harder for people to actually negotiate. Championships on the line in our classes this weekend. Pro, Pro-Am, and of course the 991 category as well. And we'll be bidding farewell to the 991 type cars at the end of this weekend. Jeremy Shaw, beautifully poised. The three main protagonists at the front of the field have done us proud this year. It's been close, it's been respectful, it's been entertaining.
It certainly has been some tremendous competition there, but certainly in qualifying, Seb Priaulx has been the man all season long. This is his 10th pole position in this will be the 14th race of the season. So he's been the dominant man in the qualifying, and he will start from pole again today, John.
So we are waiting for the safety car to lead them around in the Multimatic supported number 15 Porsche with Seb Priaulx on board and his teammate from Kelly Moss Road and Race, also right there in the championship, will follow him out. Qualifying took place yesterday, late on in the afternoon, and Jeremy Shaw has the starting lineup for this first of three races this weekend.
Yeah, a big field of cars for this 14th race out of 16 this season. 31 cars will take the start. Right at the back is number 96, Dimitri Dimikos, making his debut this weekend. But he's in a 991 car, but he was quickest of all the 901s and even quicker than the Pro-Am 992s in qualifying. Unfortunately, the car was underweight, so number 96 will start at the back. Row 15 is car number 8, Joe Still, alongside Craig Conway in car number 97. Row 14, Jeff Myshak, in number 29, and Tom Balamis in car number 59. Row 13, Joseph Lombardo in number 92, and Grady Willingham in car number 21. Row 12, Thomas Collingwood in number 69, and René Robichaud in number 84. Ahead of them in row 11, Kurt Swearingen in car number 17, and Conor Flynn, one of the 991 contenders, in number 95. Row 10, Chris Bellomo making his return for Flying Lizard Motorsports in number 68, alongside Bill Smith in car number 42. Row 9, Steve Dunn, number 16, Matt Holcomb, is the championship leader in 991 in car number 55. He will start in the 18th position. Row 8 of the grid is John Goetz in car number 57, and the pole sitter in 991, Kurt Hunt, in car number 24 for ACI Motorsports, making his return after breaking a hand 3 months ago. Row 7, Efren Castro in car number 65, and Riley Dickinson, who was DQ'd after qualifying for a ride height infraction. He will start last of the pro contenders, 13th on the grid. That's number 53 for Team Hardpoint. Row 6 is Ryan Gates in calibre number 11, alongside the pro-am pole sitter in calibre 99. That's Alan Metney again. Row 5, from here on, we're all pro cars. Calibre 27 is Sebastian Carrazzo in 10th position, alongside Maxwell Root in calibre 7. Row 4, Lee Keane, number 12, and Leon Kohler from Germany, making his debut in calibre 14 for MRS GT Racing. Row 3, 58 is TJ Fisher alongside Sean McAllister in number 2 car. Second row is good, Dylan Murray, his best effort of the season in qualifying for BG Bay Motorsports in car number 38, alongside the Parker Thompson in number 9 for JDX Racing. And then the two Kelly Mostrup cars on the front row, number 3 Kai Van Berlo. That's a brand new car after the other one was destroyed last time at the VIR. And on the pole position yet again in car number 15 is Seb Prio.
So, beautiful lineup of cars. 45 minutes, as ever, on the clock. One of the longer Carrera Cup events around the world. This flat six engine, notes rising. Prio gets a lovely jump start across the line. Down towards turn one, there's a spinner at the back of the field, but somehow everybody's missed the number 84 car that's gone around. That's the Robichaud car, one of the Kelly Moss Roden Race machines. But I think no damage on that. Put the lottery on for that one, because how everybody got past that, I'm not entirely sure. Down through the S's for the first time. Big crowd already here on Fast Friday at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. And Seb Prio has pulled a gap as they go through turn five and down towards turn six for the first time of asking, Jeremy.
And the drivers are very well behaved. You see some battling going on farther back down the field, but a great start for Seb Prio. The race director was Randy Bucker, informed the drivers, I want a late start. I don't want you jumping early coming under the bridge. I want you a late start so it's nice and clean. That's exactly what the drivers did, and a great start for Prio. And Parker Thompson taking full advantage of that slow start to make a great getaway and jump ahead of Kai Van Berlo into second place for JDX in car number 9.
That was a very, very scary moment at the back of the field. Yeah. As the 84 car went around for René Robichaud, the man from Cincinnati, Ohio. But I think, as I say, there was no damage. I'm not even sure he was tipped into it. I might have just been unleashing the 500-odd horsepower through the Michelin rear tyres, not quite up to temperature and pressure, and spun that car around. For all the differences that we have in these cars, it's a brand new iteration of the venerable 911, the eighth iteration since that car came into being in 1963. Very different shell, very different aerodynamics, wider, longer, lower, but the engine remains the same. It is the flat six 4 litre off for the rain sponsored number 21. That's a disaster early on, and that car is going no further. I thought it was just a little off for Grady Willingham for the Goldcrest Motorsports car. He's at turn one. We often see people out there on the grass, Jeremy, but I'm not sure he's had an incident there. It looks like he may have just have pulled off.
Yeah, maybe a problem there for Grady Willingham, one of the veteran drivers. He's been a regular contender in the 991 class all season long. So a shame for his race. Oh, he's got it going again. That's good news. So Grady Willingham has got that car back out on track. He seems to be under power, maybe not full power, though. He's limping up the hill toward the S's. But Seb Prio is still, it is who leads. Parker Thompson in second place. And Kai Van Berlo in the third position in car number 3.
Well, did Grady jump or was he pushed? I think he jumped. Looks like there's damage to the left front steering on that car. Maybe that's why he's going slowly. Has he got a puncture or has he had contact? Yeah, he's got a puncture. Left front puncture. The 18-inch rim and Michelin tyre are... Well, that would have been a wake-up call, Jeremy. Going into turn one, the left front is doing all the hard work. No wonder he went off and exited stage left there.
Yeah, no kidding. That would be a very scary moment there for Grady Willingham with a puncture going into turn one. Pretty much flat out. There's a slight lift there, maybe a slight dab of the brakes in a cup car, but still it's very, very fast. And he's done well to keep that car on the racetrack. The top three, as has been the case for most of the season, have detached themselves from the rest of the field, which is led by Dylan Murray for BGB Motorsports in car number 38. Dylan, of course, he's a local driver, is Dylan Murray from Cumming, Georgia, still just 20 years of age. And as we see another off-track excursion, that's car number 59 is off the road, and that will be Tom Balamas running for the again five. For the Kelly Moss Road and Race team.
Exit of turn five, Jeremy. It looks to me as though Grady hasn't been able to get his car to the pit, or very sensibly he's pulled it up. That's exactly what he's done. Yeah, that is quality, classy driving from Grady. Didn't want to cause a full course yellow by being in a dangerous place at the exit of turn one, which would have brought out the Porsche safety car, I'm sure. Decides to limp it back to the pit, but didn't want to get in the way of the field coming through, so pulled it off to some hard standing on driver's right coming down the back straight. That is very, very heads-up driving. However, we do now have a full course yellow for the Tom Balamas car into the tyres, driver's left at the exit of turn five. I'm guessing that, and it is only a guess, that number 59... yellow and red car, green and red car, just clipped the curb on the exit and rotated to the inside of the track as Grady Willingham has made it back into the support pit lane. Drivers left, the old pit lane as it's often called here. But with 40 minutes still to go, we have full course yellow. The AMR safety team just been renewed in IMSA for an extended period. Great news. That's... Yeah. We'll be having their expertise for several more seasons chasing the IMSA Championship to all of its circuits. Now, Grady's already lost one lap, and I wonder whether they'll bother putting him back out again, maybe just to get some extra laps. But that's very good news about the AMR safety team renewing, Jeremy. We always say that we like to think that they'll have a very quiet weekend and do absolutely no work at all.
Yeah, but when they are required, they are absolutely among the very, very best in the business. These dedicated men and women just so much for this sport. And AMR, they've been big partners in American motorsport now for a long, long time. They are also the safety provider in IndyCar as well, and for the support series in the Road to Indy too. So, you know, they put a lot into this sport, and it's great to see them back for another 3-year term here with IMSA.
So the field is frozen. Hello to all of you listening on 98.1 Road, Michelin Road, Atlanta FM. Good to have your company as well. Great that Ed and the team are once again keeping you informed at the times when we aren't on air here on IMSA Radio. And a big hello to Dave Miller as well for ensuring that the rather excellent PA system is up and running, and that FM transmitter. Big team effort to put all this together this weekend with our colleagues at NASCAR Productions in Charlotte, North Carolina, making sure we can see all of the track. And on the IMSA Radio side of things, Tim Gray is our executive producer up in London, UK. It's Roger Vincent with the Fast Fingers and our picture cutting this weekend. If you are watching on IMSA.tv or the live video on IMSAradio.com, wherever you are this Friday afternoon, just after what? Coming on to 20 minutes past 5 in the UK, 20 minutes past 6 in Europe, and just into the afternoon here at Michelin Raceway Road, Atlanta. And as always, a big thanks to all of our camera operators, those who have been rigging the early part of this week, making sure everything is connected. And we could not do without the tape apes either, making sure that we, and I know it's digital now, but I say it with great affection every time, that we get our replays so that we can analyse what has been going on. They've been supporting us and the sport for the whole of this season as we come to the final rounds of all of the IMSA championships. Rain, shine, and there's been plenty of both this year. So thank you to all, and particularly, of course, to our volunteer marshals on the flags, our officials in pit lane and further afield, and indeed everyone who has put together all of our race meetings this year, whether it's checking tickets on the way in, helping you park your cars. Just give them a little nod and a smile this weekend if you're at Mission and Raceway Road Atlanta. It's been a tough old couple of years, hasn't it, for everyone, including motor racing and all of those people that I've mentioned there, who are absolutely essential in getting the races running, our volunteers, and give that most precious of resource, their time, to make sure that we can go racing. Safety and recovery workers and medical staff always on hand and working hard to get us back underway with 35 minutes to go. It's still Seb Priel for Kelly Moss Road and Racing, Parker Thompson the Canadian, JDX Racing the white and red number 9 car in second, Kai Van Burlow and the white and green Kelly Moss Road and Race car, then Dylan Murray for BGP, he'll be close back right up again, TJ Fisher Top Racing, then the second of the JDX Racing cars, Sean McAllister, and one of 4 juniors, check that, 5 juniors in the top 6. In Pro-Am, Alan Metney, Efren Castro, as it seems to have been for most of the season, 13th and 14th overall in the 99 and the 65 Porsches, and the 991 class leader, the ACI Motorsports number 24 car, with Kurt Hunt, the man from just down the highway in Atlanta, is up in 15th position. Had a great start ahead of some of the 992 Cup cars. One more lap at least. Sorry to see the 991 cars go. They've been great servants to this, and we should also say that this is the last race for Porsche Carrera Cup North America under the auspices of Dr. Daniel Ambruster. He will come to the end of his term looking after Porsche Motorsport in North America at the end of the year. And through his intervention is why we have so many 992s here this year. Absolutely no doubt at all that he has put a lot of hard work into this, fought hard to get the 992 car, fought hard to get this championship upgraded to Carrera Cup. Dr. Ambruster, we wish you and your family all the best and your next appointment with Porsche. So not only are championships here, Jeremy, to be sorted out in all 3 of the classes and, of course, for the teams as well. But, of course, there is the small matter of a Porsche Junior shootout position in Europe later on this year as well. And all of the young drivers automatically enrolled into the North American Junior Driver competition, and news today of the last American who won that and became a Porsche at Works driver, Pat Long, way back in 2002, believe it or not, stepping away from top line driving, but thankfully we hear still being involved at the highest level of the sport here in the US.
Indeed so, John, yes, and Patrick has been a stalwart. Yeah, not only as a driver, but as an ambassador as well. And great news to hear that he's going to be continuing in that ambassadorial role. And he'll be a huge boon to everybody involved with Porsche racing here in North America and indeed around the world, because he's a well-respected guy. He's a great guy all the way around and a true enthusiast. Looks like we're going to go back to green this time around. A couple of notes here, John. Parker Thompson has set the fastest lap of the race prior to the yellow flag interruption at 121.860, new lap record, of course, for Porsches around here. The old mark in the 991 cars in race configuration was 123.0. Also, a big mover, the guy who started at the back of the field, Dimitri Dimikos, in car number 96, all the way up from 31st position to 21st and third in 991. Before we get going for the restart, he was massively impressive yesterday. His debut. For Dimitri, he's from Chicago, he's only 22 years of age, he's a real estate He's into real estate. In fact, he's getting his master's degree in real estate development at the moment. And just a part-time racing driver. But I tell you what, he qualified 11th fastest overall in the qualifying session yesterday. Okay, the time was thrown out because the car was a bit underweight, but he's already charging his way through the field and up into the third position at 991 class, getting ready for this restart. So massively impressive for Dimitri Dimokos there in that car number 96 for Goldcrest Motorsports. They've been the kind of the standard setter this year in the 991 category, although it's for ACI Motorsports. It's Kurt Hunt who leads the way, car number 24 at the moment.
Yeah, just to put a little full stop on that Pat Long announcement, he's been a brand ambassador for Porsche for some time, and he's the one of the driving forces behind the worldwide phenomenon that is the Luftgekühlt gatherings, celebration of all things oil and air cooled for Porsche. He'll stay on as a brand ambassador for Porsche Cars North America, and he will be Porsche Motorsport North America's competition advisor. And brilliant to have that amount of background knowledge and experience being retained within the sport here in North America. And that bodes very well indeed for what is an exciting time for all of the manufacturers, and Porsche in particular, with the new LMDH program coming in. And obviously Pat's raced at the highest level in prototypes as well. And how successful this championship has been for Porsche Carrera Cup North America, presented by Visit Cayman Islands. Safety car lights are out, and the 911 pushes away with some speed to leave the field in the capable hands of the leading Porsche, Kelly Moss Road and Race number 15 of Sebastian Priot. Comes down to turn 10, the bottom of the hill, through the chicane area there, and then climbing under the bridge, little kink at turn 11. Right there, they emerge from under the Fox Factory Bridge and down towards the final corner in front of the Michelin Tower. Just under 29 minutes to go. We're back under green flag racing, and Priot streaks off. Great restart again from Priot. It's Thompson who's under pressure from Van Berlo, who goes down the inside, and Dylan Murray in the bright green Porsche, the Serpent green car, tries to have a look. Almost three across the track in turn one. That was not going to work. All three of them think better of it, and it remains Thompson in second position, but he's lost ground to the leader under pressure from Kai Van Berlo in the white and green in third position, that number three car. Top three in the championship, top three in the race, but Priot has absolutely nailed the restart. Jeremy Shaw.
He has indeed, and if he can win again today, that's going to put the championship under wraps, I believe. He came into this weekend with a commanding points lead, 286 points to 222 of Kai Van Berlo, so that's a 64-point margin. You get 25 points for a win, plus 5 for pole position, which is already nabbed at this weekend. So Seb Priot looking to tie up that title here this afternoon at Michelin Raceway Road, Atlanta.
Still 28 minutes to go. These are long races. Quite a lot of the other Carrera Cups are only 30 or 35. This is as far as these cars can go on a tank of racing fuel. Coming down to the final corner. Battles throughout the field and throughout the classes. Metney and Castro separated by nothing at all. Battling it out for the 992 Pro-Am category. Right in there as well, the second of the JDX cars. That car Sean McAllister sitting in sixth position in the number two car. Down through the S's, all about getting the balance of the car and the rhythm right. Easy to either underdrive or overdrive that part of the circuit. Underdrive it, well, you'll lose time. Overdrive it, you'll probably end up in the wall. McAllister now under some pressure in that number two car, in sixth position. Kohler, Dickinson, Keane, Maxwell Root, Gates and Carrazzo for the top 12, and they are all pretty much there. Bit of dust being thrown up a moment or two ago coming across the start-finish line. I think was the Irish Mike's Racing number 97 Porsche out in the dirt. So, Jeremy, in the other categories then, Alan Metney's had a commanding lead all season. Kurt Hunt has had some good results as well. And Matt Holcomb for Goldcrest, he's right there in the Pro-Am category as well. So we are going to crown some champions this weekend. And in fact, there is a prize-giving ceremony here tomorrow evening.
Yeah, that's right. And there's a lot of hardware to be handed out there. Some of it's still to be determined, but I think pretty much the champions are going to be probably decided by the end of today, if all stays as it is right now, with Seb Priaux leading comfortably at the moment. He extended his lead. Actually, didn't extend his lead on that last lap. Yes, he did. He extended his lead slightly over Parker Thompson. Now 1.6 seconds it was across the line to complete lap 10. So looking good here in the Pro-Am class. Alan Metney looking to get yet another win on his season. This will be win number 9 if he can complete it right now. You've got Efrey Castro hot on his heels. In 9.91, it's Kurt Hunt who leads. And in fourth place, Matt Holcomb. And Matt Holcomb, by starting the race today, has put that 9.91 category under wraps. Grady Willingham was his closest contender, but he's already had some problems in this race. And even then, he was 76 points behind coming into this weekend. So that was out of range in any case.
It's Jeremy Shaw. He's alongside me, John Hindhoff, in the Global Broadcast Centre Porsche Carrera Cup North America, presented by Visit Cayman Islands. And three races this weekend to round off what's been an astonishingly good debut season for Carrera Cup here in North America and for the 992 Cup car. Sun just peeking out from behind the cloud we had earlier on. 64 Fahrenheit in the air, 75 on the track, but any prolonged ultraviolet light will bring that track temperature up. It's pretty old service here at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. Some newer patches on it, but it does react to having sunshine on it, and it will heat up. We've had a little bit of running behind the safety car, so that will have given the drivers a chance to give their Michelin Pilot Cup N3s there a little bit of a breather. Listen out, by the way, on IMSA Radio across the weekend, imsaradio.com, channel RS2, for had a little bit of fun before the racing started with the three championship contenders, Kai van Berlo, Parker Thompson and Seb Priaux. Bit of chat about their season and also put them under the spotlight on their Porsche knowledge. Find out who won our So You Think You Know Porsche quiz competition by staying tuned to IMSA Radio across the weekend. We'll have that published as an archive piece on imsaradio.com as well across the weekend, as soon as we can get that put up. Battles at turn 5, side by side. Kohler and Riley Dickinson, the 53. Porsche goes ahead into turn number 6. Riley Dickinson for team Hardpoint then goes up into 7th position. And that, Jeremy Shaw, was planned 2 corners further back. Very good manoeuvre by Riley.
Yeah, doing a nice job here as Riley is making his way up through the field. Having he qualified 4th yesterday for the team Hardpoint operation. Unfortunately, his time was taken away because the car fell close to his technical inspection, a little bit too low on one corner of that car, so he had to start way down the order. He made up 3 positions on the opening lap up at the 10th base. He made up 2 positions on the restart, and now he's all over the back end there. He's been battling with Sean McAllister and Leon Kohler, who incidentally wonderfully just got past Leon Kohler for that 7th position. And Leon Kohler, he won a couple of rounds of the Porsche Carrera Cup Germany this year, including the final round most recently. So Leon Kohler making his debut here in North America, the 22-year-old from Kleinwalstadt in Germany, and doing a very, very good job in that MRS GT car, currently running in 8th place.
Coming down to, well, in fact, we're into the second half of the race, aren't we? 45 we started with. under 22 to go now in terms of minutes of racing. And the bright green Dylan Murray BGB Motorsports car, just with a bit of breathing space from TJ Fisher as they go through turn number 7 onto the back straight. It's going to be a huge crowd this weekend at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta for Mutul Petit-Lamont. There is barely a space either side of the back straight, and it's, remember, only Friday at the moment. Only Thursday at the moment, excuse me. So Fast Friday tomorrow. This is an absolute huge crowd, absolutely huge. Prio's cleared off, Jeremy. We've seen him do this before, and we wondered at the start of the season with a young driver without much experience, without any experience in Porsches, whether he wasn't pacing himself. I think he's only got it wrong once this season at VIR, one of the races at VIR, but the rest of the time, his pace, his controlling of the race when he's got out in front has been exemplary.
Certainly has, John. His consistency is absolutely remarkable. He just set a new fastest lap of the race last time around. That's lap 14, 121.928. His previous laps were 121.94, 21.93, 22.06, 21.94. Just remarkable consistency from our race leader, Seb Prio. That is why he's extended that lead now over Parker Thompson, who's got his hands full with Kyle Van Berlo, but Van Berlo not really close enough to think about making a pass. And then they are pulling away from this big battle of cars behind them, led still by Dylan Murray in fourth position, just ahead of TJ Fisher. Joey McAllister's having a nice run there in that Shell top-up car, number 2 in sixth position, just ahead of Riley Dickinson and Leon Kohler, and Lee Keane, the veteran, right in the thick of that as well.
Kicking off our live coverage from this Petit-Lamont weekend with live, free, unblocked and uninterrupted race coverage of Porsches. We've got more races to come. We've added some coverage of the Michelin Pilot Challenge qualifying session for you as well. And of course, we'll have sound and vision for you on qualifying tomorrow for the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Lots to come today. It's a long old run through into the evening practice. Hope you can stay with us in sound, at least if you're moving around, or maybe a bit bandwidth challenged. If you are able to pick up the pictures, do so. Been always a great circuit, and promotes fantastic racing. Still, Dylan Murray with TJ Fisher. Riley Dickinson made that move a couple of laps ago now, up into sixth position, but hasn't been able to advance further. He has closed the gap, though, to Murray and Fisher in fourth and fifth position. He looks to be challenging. Also looking fast at the moment, Jeremy, is that MRS GT racing car in the silver stars and stripes colours.
Yeah, Leon Kohler is doing a nice job, making a strong debut here, now giving Sean McAllister all he can handle in that battle for 7th, 8th and 9th. As you say, the Riley Dickinson has pulled away quite rapidly from that lot. He's just set his best lap of the race last time around at 122.3 for Riley Dickinson in 3rd place for Team Hardpoint, in car number 53. Race leader, by contrast, 122.1. We're still edging away at the front is Sebastian Prio. The guy on the move, though, John, is Dimitri Dimokos, the car number 96. He's up into 15th position overall, comfortably now ahead of all of the 991 contenders. And he's absolutely flying. He's just passed John Goetz, who's running in 3rd place in the Pro-Am class. Dimokos' best lap in this race, so 123.507. That compares to Alan Metney, who leads the Pro-Am class in the 992 category, who's just a couple of positions ahead of him at a 23.3. So Dimokos in that older 991 is doing a remarkable job. And to put this into perspective, the race lap record in the old 991 class up until last year, set by Riley Dickinson, 123.034. So Dimitri Dimokos, in his first ever race at this level, is within a half a second of that. I'd say that's pretty impressive.
Very impressive indeed. Riley Dickinson just going by TJ Fisher. And Metney's gone around. Leader in Pro-Am 992. Metney on the exit of turn 10. And the iFly car parked across the track for a moment has managed to get it pointing in the right direction. But that's dropped him way down the field. There was side-by-side battling going on. But I can't say for certain whether there was a touch there. Sill to sill, maybe, with Efren Castro and the bright yellow team hardpoint car. It was the barest of touches if it was, Jeremy.
Yeah, I think they were side by side, weren't they, coming through 10A there, and that was a great move, I think, by Efren Castro. They've had some super battles all the way through the season, but I think that time just Alan just got on the throttle, I think, a little bit too hard coming out of the right hander there, heading up towards that Fox Factory Bridge, and lost it and spun around. So that's going to cost him a fair bit of ground. The good news for Alan Bettney is that his lead over Efren Castro in the championship was 39 points coming into this weekend. So if Castro can win here and score his fifth win of the season, that would certainly narrow that gap and keep him in contention going into the final two rounds.
Yeah, bad news for Metney was that three other Pro-Am cars got by him. So he's now down in fifth position in class. And the worst news is he's got Kurt Hunt in front of him in one of the 991 cars. Now, he should be able to deal with that number 21 ACI car and get back towards Kurt Swearingen, who's in fourth position. But we're talking a lot of ground, more than 20 seconds between Alan Metney and another position. Check that, Mick. That's 16 seconds, I think. That's 16 seconds off the lead, excuse me. So he has been able to deal with Kurt Hunt, and he's now trying to hunt down Kurt Swearingen for extra points for fourth position. Meantime, turn 7, Riley Dickinson, having dealt with TJ Fisher last time around, is now on the very bright green hindquarters of the fourth place BGB Motorsports number 38 Porsche, driven by Dylan Murray.
Yeah, and with that spin then for Alan Metney, that's where Steve Dunn has just overtaken John Goetz for second position in Pro-Am. Here's a replay of Riley Dickinson making another move there, finally getting
past. That's live. I think that's live.
That's live, isn't it? You're right.
Yeah.
He made the move last lap around on TJ Fisher. This time he goes around Dylan Murray. So up into fourth place now, Riley Dickinson. That's where he qualified yesterday. Wasn't able to keep that time because of the technical infraction. But a great drive back through the field by Riley Dickinson here this afternoon.
He's got 13 and a half minutes to make up 6 seconds on Kai van Berlo, who is still in third position. He's 4 seconds away from Parker Thompson in second for JDX, who is, let's call it 4 seconds as well, away from Seb Prior, who is gliding his way to another victory at the moment. Best lap last time around for Parker Thompson with a 121.8 for Parker. Not last time around, excuse me. That is the fastest lap still set from earlier on. Parker did a 22.5 last time around, 22.4 for the leader, Seb Prior, 22.5 for Kai van Berlo. Now, keep an eye on Riley Dickinson in that number 53 car, the car in the Porsche Works colours. He's pulled out a lead already, Jeremy, and his sector times are outstanding.
Yeah, great drivers. All sorts of good performances here. There is a Leon Kohler trying to make a move on Sean McAllister coming down into the turn 10, and not quite able to make that. He's not going to try at turn 12, is he? No. Your lack of track knowledge here is one thing, but to try to make a move there is not going to work, and he runs, puts a couple of wheels wide on the exit of turn 12, but he remains there in the eighth position. That's car number 14 for Leon Kohler.
New fastest lap overall for Riley Dickinson. We wondered what he could do in clear air. He has answered in the affirmative, 121.7, and he's already put a new fastest first sector in that's at least a couple of tenths quicker than the cars he's chasing down. Now, he's around about 5 seconds away from a podium finish. That's getting onto the back of Kai van Berlo. That's one thing. Might be able to do that at the pace he's got at the moment with 12 minutes to go. But has he got the performance advantage to try and overtake and get on the podium? Well, I tell you what, He's not going to leave us wondering, Jeremy, at the pace he's going at the moment, Riley.
Seriously impressive, really impressive. I mean, generally speaking, by this stage in the race, you know, the Michelin tyres are past their best. Okay, the fuel load is burning off, so the car's a little bit lighter, certainly, but this is a tremendous performance. Once again, shows the durability of these Michelin tyres, no question about that either. But a great performance by Riley Dickinson, up into fourth position. I don't think he's going to catch those guys ahead of him, but it's still been a tremendously impressive run by Riley. Also impressive, by the way, once again, I've got to talk about this guy because I'm so impressed. Dimitri Dimokos, he's just set a new fastest lap of the race in 9.91. So 23.188, that is quicker than all of the Pro-Am guys in 9.92.
Yes.
That is amazing. And again, he's within now 0.3 of a second of Riley Dickinson's 9.91 lap record that was set back in 2019 in these cars. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Oh, spin on the circuit. It's the number 24 that's gone around again. I saw a little bit of an issue for that car earlier on for Kurt Hunt, managed to avoid the spinning cars last time. The ACI Motorsports driver from Atlanta, just coming out of turn 10A.
Second place.
Yeah, was in second place in class.
The pole sitter after Dimokos' DQ.
Got a bit close
there with battling with Chris Bellomo there in the Flying Lizard car. Just got on the throttle a little bit too soon there. He had to check up coming through the middle of the part of the chicane, and then just got a bit sort of flustered on the exit. It did, Kurt. As I said earlier on, he's recovering from a broken hand suffered in a motorbike accident, a trial bike accident with his young son about 3 months ago now. That was his son. Oops, who's that?
I think there's a couple of cars involved at the bottom of the hill. Sean McAllister is one and Lee Keane is the other. They were running well inside the top 10 and there's been contact left front of Sean McAllister as they got caught up with another car. So that would have been the Leon Kohler car, who for some reason was a little bit slow coming under the Fox Factory Bridge at the kink of turn 10, and that caused the schmozzle that caught out both of those cars. So that is the number 2 of Sean McAllister and Lee Keane in the 311 RS number 12. And now another spinner. Two more cars off on the front straight. Matt Holcomb is one of them, and it looks like Bill Smith. Yes, it is, as the dust settles. In the bright orange car is the other. Matt Holcomb in the mystery machine number 55 gets turned around. That was coming out of the final corner. That's exceptionally quick. And if they've got away without damage, they are very, very fortunate indeed. There was some side-by-side action with... Right, so this is the start of the incident with the Kohler car. There was a touch there, but that was at turn number 10. Not sure what happened later on. But at turn one, on the next lap, Sean McAllister has pulled off, I believe. He's shown a stop now. Bill getting very sideways at turn 12 and following him off almost on an identical line. Matt Holcomb overheating for Sean McAllister. That bang on the front left-hand side, Jeremy, must have taken out one of the radiators. And I wonder if that's what Bill... And Matt Holcomb spun on. That would have been coolant from that car, that McAllister JDX car.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And it'd be very treacherous down there at turn 12 right now. Notice the last couple of laps, Seb Prio has eased his pace quite considerably at the front, 23-0 last time. And in fact, all three leaders are going a good bit slower than they were just a couple of laps ago. So I think there must be some fluid down there, and it caught out Bill Smith.
Joe still spinning at turn 6 as well. Bill now on the exit of... Now that looks a bit further round the circuit. He's had another spin. I think that's the exit of turn 5. He'll get that going again. I'm looking for damage. Yes, it is turn 5. He's now got a left... check that right rear puncture. That looks like there's been maybe some contact there, or maybe when he went over the curb. Full course yellow. Slippery surface. Rubbish on the track flag. That's the yellow and red and the double yellows at the start finish line with 6.5 to go. This will pack the field back up again, but is there time to get all of this cleared and one more chance for... Oh, and there's been a change in second. Kai Van Berlo's gone ahead of Parker Thompson in all of that, Jeremy. That schmozzle, all of that action. Kelly Moss now first and second.
Yeah, there's Sean McAllister out of that Shell top-up car. He's off the road. That's the exit of turn one, isn't he? Isn't it? So he's out
can't
of that
leave
car.
That car
he's
there.
He's fine.
Yeah. I mean, you can't leave that car there. It's too fast.
No.
And if he's ended up there, somebody else could and could go there at a much faster speed. You know, I think everybody knows the potential. So this all started with Kohler and McAllister having a battle at turn 10. There was a bit of hip and shoulder, but the MRS GT car did go through, but then seemed to stumble or stall or just check up a little bit going under the Fox Factory Bridge. McAllister hit the back of it and did some damage to the left front.
Yeah.
Lee Keane was sort of caught in the aftermath and went off down the hill towards the apex of turn 12. But as I say, I think Sean McAllister burst a radiator at that point, and when he tried to continue, he's probably just spread coolant or potentially oil on the circuit on the way round. Odd one.
It was a very strange incident, John. I completely agree with you. And it looked to me, yes, it did look like the number two car checked up, but maybe the number 22 ahead of him did as well, because they were very, very close coming underneath the bridge, whereas number 22 car from Leo Colley, he just made that pass going at the chicane.
Almost looked
he
like
was accelerating out of the corner. He seemed to be kind of edging away from there, so went over the crest of the hill there, and all of a sudden the three of them together. So I don't know what, maybe something happened to Leon Kohler there that kind of caused a chain reaction.
Yeah, I think that's exactly
most unfortunate.
Yeah, he's dropped back behind TJ Fisher on that lap. It almost looked like he missed a gear in old-fashioned parlance, which is quite hard to do on racing boxes nowadays with paddle shift. There's a few cars that are carrying some battle scars. There's Dimitri Dimakos in the 96. Very striking colourway on that. I still think that 991 GT3 Cup car is a lovely shape of car. I like the simple elegance of the treatment to the engine cover on that car. And that looks an absolute cracker. He's in the top dozen now for Goldcrest Motorsport. And that time, as you were pointing out, Jeremy, a 1:23.1, 0.2 quicker than anything any of the 992 Pro-Am drivers has done. Absolutely outstanding. Can't take it away from Seb, though. Seb Priot at the front with 3.5 minutes to go. Maybe we'll get one lap of green, but it's going to be touch and go.
Yeah, it'd be a shame to finish on the yellow. It would be rather exciting, I think, to see whether Kai Van Berlo... I don't think we saw how Kai Van Berlo got into second place ahead of Parker Thompson, did we? But he is indeed shown in second position, so the two teammates will be going at it again if we get back to green. And then farther back down, you can Dimitri Dimakos make himself up into the top 10 overall. That would be amazing.
It's not beyond the bounds. He's clearly taken to this like a duck to water. And he's not driven a Porsche in anger before, Jeremy.
Yeah, he's driven a Porsche before. He's done a few... done quite a bit of PCA racing over the last few years. But his first race at this level, he did one of the... what's the series called now? Sprint Cup Series, is it?
Sprint Challenge, yeah.
Challenges, excuse me. He's done a few of those races.
Wow.
And he's driven a Cayman a couple of races, but very, very little time compared to most of the other contenders. And it's been a remarkable performance by the young man there. So,
He's got a future if he wants to go forward.
I was talking to him yesterday. He's quite happy. He just does this as a hobby, certainly at the moment. But you're right. I think he might have to change that plan, John.
Driving a Cayman race car, GT4 Club Sport, and driving one of these cup cars, very different. I think, unfortunately, Jeremy, we are going to finish under yellows with just 1:03 left to go, and the safety car is still out. There's not enough time to come back round to the... Oh, now, is there? No, I don't think there's enough time to come back to green this time around. So, unfortunately for us and for you, trackside, listening on the PA on 98.1 FM, Michelin Raceway Road, Atlanta FM, I think, yeah, with the safety vehicle still very much in evidence at the exit of turn one, and right, that car of Sean McAllister was right in the firing line if anybody had gone wide. It is on the back of the flatbed truck now, but no time to get us back underway. So this is going to be, well, more than a few fingers. One hand on the trophy for Sepri. You reckon it's done?
Done and dusted. As long as he passes post-race technical inspection, yeah. By my reckoning, it'll be another 30 points, 25 for the win, plus 5 for that pole position. So that'll be 316 for Seb Priaux. Even moving up to second place for Kai Van Berlo, he gets 20 points for that. That'll leave him on 242, so that's a 74-point deficit, only two races remaining. And even if he was to have got fastest lap in this race to get the pole position for the second race, it wouldn't be enough. Or the third race. So, I think that's done and dusted now for Seb Priaux. So it's been a very, very impressive campaign by both of these two young men. But when that crash last time out at VIR, of course, very, very costly for Kai Van Berlo. Plus the fact that Seb Priaux has been masterful in qualifying, that has been a big part towards his championship challenges. This is his 10th pole position. 9 of them he got 5 points for. One of them was. The points were the grid order were decided by championship points, so he didn't get the 5 bonus points for that one, but he has for the remaining 9 races. That's 45 points of that 70 odd point differential.
Yeah, and I think 3 of those were at Indianapolis in that Porsche Together Festival, weren't they? And that was a big weekend for the championship. Just goes to show, though, how important qualifying is, not just in terms of getting you a good grid position, but those points have helped Kenny Moss, road and race driver Sebastian Priaux, unofficially to take the championship for 2021, the inaugural Porsche Carrera Cup North America presented by Visit Cayman Islands. He'll come through behind a bright Guards red Porsche, the safety car. He won't mind that at all as he racks up the points. 2 more races to go and the pressure now off. It'll be Efren Castro for the Pro-Am category and Team Hardpoint, the number 65, who takes it in 11th position, followed home by our driver of the race, I think, Dimitri Dimakos for Goldcrest Motorsport, up to 12th position, and a fastest lap for the 991 category. Fantastic. As he steps up to this form of racing for the first time. Deserved applause for all the drivers. Once again, we have had some good racing, slightly curtailed in the last 3 minutes or so at the end. And the good news is that although we've got some cars that will need work from the teams, we saw all of the drivers out. There was no incidents that involved drivers being injured. The teams will have a little more work to do before race 2. 3 races this weekend. The grids have already been set with the fastest laps in qualifying, although you do have the opportunity, if your race lap is quicker, to improve your position. We'll leave it to timing and scoring and the team at Alcamel to work all that out. And we'll be back with the next race. Jeremy, some thoughts about what we've seen today and particularly about this young Channel Islander, Sebastian Priaux, has some experience of the tracks, having raced in IMSA competition last year, never drove a Porsche before this season, and subject to official confirmation, he will be crowned champion this weekend.
20 years old, from Guernsey, UK, third generation racing driver, a real talent as well. We're going to be hearing a lot more of Sebastian Priaux as the years roll on, John.
So Jeremy Shaw was alongside me, John Hindhoff, in the Global Broadcast Centre. will confirm everything that we've been talking to you about the championship positions. Here's how they finished. Prior from Van Berlo, from Thompson, the three championship contenders came home first, second and third in the first of three races at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. Thanks to all the team on site and at Charlotte. And of course, to you for watching and listening. Don't go too far away from trackside. Plenty more to come this Thursday at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta.
This programme is a radio show limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.